This is Becky Randolph. Together with some guests, I will share a bit about the Elk River Congregation for the We Gather Here series. The Elk River Congregation is one of the Southern Minnesota congregations. Elk River is a city of over 25,000 people and is located about 35 miles northwest of Minneapolis at the confluence of the Mississippi and Elk Rivers. At the time of this recording, our congregation has just under 200 paying members, about 140 Sunday school children, and a large number of young people. While the name of our congregation is the Lestadian Lutheran Church of Elk River, our church is actually located in Nowthen. Paul Hiluka, one of the original congregation members, joined to share some congregation history. Why did a group start gathering northwest of the Minneapolis congregation?
Well, what we've seen in Minneapolis is the growth there, and it was getting to be a very full church. And a bunch of us that lived to the north, we were driving some distance to get to church. So we had been gathering around coffee and stuff over a period of time, and with this idea that maybe we could try Bible class to the north and see how that would work. So one of us had checked, and we found we could rent a room in an elementary school here in Elk River. So we got together, and it was in 2002 we had our first Bible class in Elk River. It was a small group. We had a circle of chairs, and we gathered there. And at the time, I was on the board in Minneapolis, and the Minneapolis board graciously communicated with the Bible class teachers and said they would send one of the teachers that had a lesson in Minneapolis out to present that same lesson to us at another date in Elk River. So that worked for quite a while, and we slowly seen more people deciding to join. And finally, the group got big enough to where we decided to formally form a congregation. Then we moved to a junior high school, just a little bit down the road from there. The elementary school had small chairs. They're kind of set up for the smaller, for children. So we got to start in the high school, and it was much more accommodating for us. Then we started having our services there on Sunday also. And along with that came quite a few changes.
What did congregation life look like at that time? And maybe how does it compare to what you see today?
Well, back then it was, when we were gathering there, we had some elders, but it was mostly younger families. It was a challenge. We had kids with lots of motivation. We had hallways to deal with, and janitors, and a big school. So we had the challenges of keeping our kids gathered up. A few times we had scares, we'd lose them. But we were able to gather there. And we had the challenge of also, you know, we had speaker brothers come and help serve. We wanted to have music to be able to play our singers, songs of Zion. So we were able to get a piano in the room. We had a cabinet there for our books and all our stuff to gather up. So we were kind of operating on a portable basis there.
Everybody pitched in.
Everybody was involved. We had chairs to set up at the beginning services and take them down after, and all those little mechanical things that needed to be done.
We had purchased land in Nowthen early in the congregation history. Lots of fundraising was done during the years that we were gathering at the school. In time, God blessed those efforts, and design work began. Following that, a groundbreaking was held on June 26, 2016. Janelle Hutha reflected on that time.
I worked as an architectural coordinator on this project, drafting the documents for the architect and engineer that we hired, communicating with the building supervisors, and working with the building and design committees. I know the building inside and out. There would be many details and stories to share, but I will just focus on one that has brought me joy and thankfulness in these intervening years. One thing that visitors notice when they attend our services is the acoustically resonant space of the sanctuary and the powerful singing within. You know, God's word is spoken in all of our church buildings and is the central element of every service. The songs of Zion also contain God's word and are an important support to our service and to our lives of faith. The spoken word of God is fairly straightforward to project into a room and well beyond the room to individual living rooms. Designing a space for singing is a little more challenging. There were purposeful choices to make to the room to make it a joy to sing in. No carpet or padded pews, for example, which have the added benefit of being easy to keep clean. There are other less noticeable acoustic design modifications that were made, but I won't elaborate further. We were a smaller congregation as the church was being designed and built. There were many big families in the busy middle years of raising children. Our financial and time resources were limited. We had to make compromises for differing building opinions and ideas. But there were blessings in this labor of love that brought us closer, when we could put our weariness and disagreements under the care of the gospel, when we could hear the encouraging messages from our speaker brothers in the pulpit. Other congregations had different battles during those years, and we were thankful that God spared us from many of those. We have an elder in our congregation, Dan Willett, who visited the job site often with his camera. He published a blog of the project, spiced with dashes of humor, and helped us keep our chins up in a very small way. The first service was held in the month of November. A big cleaning day happened on Saturday, but there were still many loose ends to finish. My husband and I and our 8 children sat on the south side of the sanctuary. I remember the bright sunshine pouring through the tall windows, carrying the excited dust that had yet to settle. The joy and relief around me were palpable. The long days of toil and sacrifices of our families were finally coming to an end. The dedication services were held the following April. Here are a few lines of text that were written by congregation member Aaron Willett for a dedication cantata that resound with my experience of that time. The tasks begin and workers eager step forward into the toil. The grasses wave, the spirit guides, the hands which sculpt the soil. The labors lag and progress falters through the withering, biting nights. Fatigue, distress, and doubt creep in as shadow veils the light. Prayers arise to you, dear Father, in trials seeking release. Your gospel stirs, revives, renews, brings joy and sweet relief. Praise and thanks ascend to heaven from children sailing through time. For this an earthly dwelling place, a port secure, sublime.
Thank you.
how would you say the demographic of the congregation looks today compared to at that time in the early days?
Well, now we've gotten to where we have elders, and we've got middle-aged, and we've got young. We're blessed with a lot of young. In fact, we have so many young, they can just about fill one half of the sanctuary on a Sunday morning. It's just so nice to see, so heartwarming. But we also have lots of babies. If you're in our in the sanctuary on a Sunday morning, you'll hear lots of crying babies, and it's a pretty welcome sound. It really is.
I agree. And it's also nice to see so many young, not just that have grown up in Elk River, but that have come to Elk River from other congregations.
Now they have the church finished that we're using it, just to be able to sit in the sanctuary, listen to the singing. It feels like you're close, so close to heaven when you're amongst those believers and the music. It's just wonderful.
The church is actually located in Now Then. That's a more rural area with an agricultural heritage. The population of Now Then is about 4,500. And Paul, am I remembering correctly that you even made hay off the land where the church is now in the early days that we owned it?
Yes. After we found this parcel of land out in Now Then and purchased, it was a pretty much all tillable field. I planted hay on it, and we bailed the hay off of it until the time we broke ground and started building the church there. At the time, I also was farming just a few miles down the road, so it was quite convenient for me to do it. This community was, and it still is, there's a lot of agriculture still going on. There's cattle being raised. There was a few dairy farms still operating at the time when we had purchased the land, which are no longer milking cows, but the crops are still being produced.
It feels like the community has supported our congregation. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. When we have had different bake sales, we've had our Scandinavian festival. We see anything from the mayor to people on city council to local local farmers, and it seems like half the community shows up at our events, and they're very happy to have us in the neighborhood, and such a welcome feeling. We even have Heritage Days in the fall in September. The believers actually cook the breakfast there at that gathering, and it's so get to see the community even that.
Sure. The demographic of the congregation has changed. The location has changed a bit. What would you say to what's constant? What has not changed?
What hasn't changed is that same gospel message from when we first gathered till today. It's so simple, you can believe, and you can believe your sins forgiven. We live by the gospel.
And so it was. Our young congregation was able to hold services in our new church. The Word of God, that sweet, sublime message of the gospel, remained the same. Our young congregation was able to increase the frequency and types of activities. But the demographic also changed. The number of young people started to grow, HAPs, young couples, and young families. Three people from this demographic joined to share their thoughts and experiences on congregation life. Max Keski, Livy Hiluka, and Sasha Germel. Welcome to all of you. Max, many young people like you joined the Elk River congregation, although you didn't really grow up in the congregation. What brought you to Elk River?
One of my friends brought me to Elk River, actually. Me and one of my buddies used to go to the Rockford congregation, and then he got introduced to the Elk River congregation through one of his friends, and he dragged me along with him. And through him, I started going occasionally and just eventually started going more and more. And then eventually he got too busy to go all the time, so I started having to go on my own.
What is congregation life like for you and your friends?
It gives us a lot of opportunities to hang out with each other, being able to do lots of events, and it gives us, like, every week we're able to see what people are doing, catch up with friends, and make plans with each other without having to, like, take out of our day because we're already together at church when we're making the plans. So it's a lot easier to come up with plans in the moment.
Sure. You actively participate not only in congregation life, but also in congregation work. How do you see young people participating?
Me and a couple of my friends were on a committee for shoveling the snow. So there's young people helping to maintain the place and keep it clean. There's people who help set up with events, which are like fundraisers and stuff like that. And then also, not only during the events, but also for separate recordings, there are youth that are part of like the singing.
Max, can you tell me a little bit about the HAPS activity in the congregation?
Every week, every Sunday, Wednesday, and then often on Friday and Saturday, there are gatherings of HAPS where not only the youth, but also not only the younger side, but also the older side of the youth gather to hang out and sing and just enjoy each other's presence. And then separate from that, there's also other events such as hockey that a lot of people participate in. People play a lot of games and go to like parks and play volleyball or whatever.
Yeah, it feels like the HAPS are quite active. I know when we host HAPS here, music is really a big part of that I enjoy. Music is certainly an important part of the life of a believer. Janelle spoke to this when we talked to her. Let's hear what she had to say about that.
My acoustic design thoughts have led me to ponder the blessings that Songs of Zion and music in general have brought to our congregation life. So many other churches in our communities have gotten rid of their organs and even hymnals and have turned to professing Jesus with a pop music expression, perhaps to attract a younger church crowd. Then I marvel at how our preciously believing youth love the simple songs of Zion, whether sung on Sunday mornings with the organ or with choral groups that gather on weeknight evenings in the church sanctuary space or at more casual HAPS gatherings in homes. Many times I have closed my eyes and just listened as our youth have filled the pews and the space above me with song, or stood around the sanctuary during a program, singing of heaven. As if I am a child being rocked in the arms of a singing mother, and I too remember, I am on the road to heaven, just as they are.
Each of you that are here with me tonight participate quite actively in the congregation in music, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Libby, how has music in the congregation touched you throughout your life?
For me, music has always been something I've been passionate about. We all grew up playing instruments at home and participating in choirs. My dad was pretty active as a choir director, so we got introduced to that pretty young in the congregation. For me, the singing in the congregation has been really impactful in our space, especially. I feel this most at special events, such as weddings. I also play as an organist in our congregation, and I'm also a piano teacher as my daily job. And what I see is the young believers, they all want to learn church songs on the piano, and many of them now have been playing for Sunday school on the piano or getting introduced to the organ.
It's really nice to see. How is our church used for music outside of the music during service activity?
We do a lot of LLC recordings. It's one of the biggest blessings of our congregation is we get to use the space for those sort of things. As an example, for our LLC recordings, if you look at the recordings done in the last 5-7 years, a really large amount of those have been done at Elk River. Anything from instrumental CDs to choir, all of those sort of things have been done. Even just yesterday, as the time we're recording this, we spent the whole day at the church practicing for an album project. So these sort of projects are going on all the time, and oftentimes Elk River is being used for rehearsal and for recording. Additionally, our space is used for a group of us young people from Elk River have recently done a Christmas dinner where we rehearsed regularly at the church, and then we're able to put on a program. These sort of programs are also used at the Scandinavian Celebration. We do 3 different programs there and are able to use that space to serve the community as well.
That's really, really nice. It feels like music and the use of the church for music really has a pretty meaningful part in congregation life. Music is also, as you mentioned, Livy, it's part of our largest fundraiser event, the Scandinavian Celebration. Can you tell us about that music program in the event?
Yeah, so we rehearse for actually a pretty short amount of time. We just do some short rehearsals before Wednesday night church leading up to the event. And then we do 3 separate programs, all of which are widely attended and appreciated by people who come to the Scandinavian Celebration.
Yeah, it is a lovely event, and it is really neat to see all the people that come there. It feels like members have been quite active in congregation life always. In the early days, while renting at Lincoln Elementary, I remember the young and old together folding chairs before going through the coffee lunch line. Everyone brought treats, and everyone helped clean up. While the congregation work is now divided into committees, it feels there's still active involvement from both young and old. Sasha, you've been one of the heads of the Scandinavian Celebration. Do you still see that to be true in this event?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Tell us a little bit about the Scandinavian Celebration. Is it a sale? Is it an event? Describe it for us.
I would say it's a little bit of both. I would say it's a sale, as it's one of our main sources of fundraising income for our church. But I would also say that it is an event or an experience for everybody. There's many different things people come to the sale to experience. While working as a cashier at the sale this year, many returning customers from our community would freely tell me what they came to experience, whether it was the meal or the music program or even just the taste of the baked goods.
Nice. There are devotions during the music program, but it isn't really a service event. What are the blessings of the effort that you have personally felt?
Being part of the planning committee for this sale the past few years, I've gotten the opportunity to collaborate with many people in the congregation who I don't usually interact with on a regular basis. And it's been great to work together with them and an easy way to establish those friendly relationships, which makes it easier to visit about things not relating to the Scandinavian Celebration.
Sure.
It's also been a joy to see everybody come together, everybody in the congregation, to work together to make the Scandinavian Celebration happen.
What are some of those tasks that people have to happen? What do people do to make this event a success?
We take everybody. It takes people who clean the church facility, people who work in the kitchen to bake the bakery items and the meal. It takes people who sing in the choir, people who manage the money, people who point people in the right direction. It takes all kinds.
Bakers, crafters, of course, yeah. The musicians. Yeah. Who participates in all of that planning, the work, and the post-event tasks?
I would say that, or I've I've noticed that everybody in the congregation helps out with this sale event. It's definitely large and it takes many hands.
It had been my custom to stay and clean up after the sale. A few years ago, Max, you were up on the ladder taking down lights from the ceiling. I was collecting them from you and coiling them at the bottom. In my peripheral vision, I noted a buzzing of activity, and I paused and looked around me and saw many, many young people doing the cleanup. I stopped and I said to myself, "Grandma, go home." It was so comforting to know that the work of the congregation was being carried out by the next generation. It isn't just the work of those daily tasks and the work at a sale, but the work in God's kingdom. It continues, and we can be thankful that the Word of God remains the same and that He offers the gifts and energy to continue that work.